This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome to On the Heel Podcast. All right, so we're back.
We're live on the hill.
Back on the hill, man. And tonight, man, we've got a very special guest.
Special guest, a little taller than you.
Better looking, taller, more muscular. Yeah.
A little more hair.
But actually, the sheriff from Hopewell. So we're honored to have him on here, Travis Stanley. So thank you so much for coming, Sheriff.
No, thank you for inviting me. This is nice.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for being here.
So, Sheriff, if first of all, you know, when we talked about you coming on the podcast, you were like, hey, man, I really don't know if I have a story to tell. But in the Hill is all about stories, people's stories. We've had local business owners on. We've had Dr. Greenberg all talking about, you know, specific things. But a lot of that time on here was him talking about his life growing up and stuff. So that's kind of where we start. But you do have a success story. So where were you born? Where were you raised?
I was born in Hopewell. It was called John Randolph Hospital back then. I think it's Tri-Cities now, but yeah. I don't know what John Randolph did, but woke got him, I guess. But
something got him, yeah.
Something got him. But, yeah, I was born in John Randolph Hospital back in the 70s, and, you know, now I'm an endangered species. You know, they don't have births there anymore. So,
oh, really? They don't?
Yeah, they don't nobody can be born in Hopewell anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
So you were born in Hopewell. Kind of as a segue, let's think about it. So I was born in Petersburg, but I grew up in like Chester and Prince George. But you actually grew up in Hopewell, right?
Grew up in Hopewell, yeah. Went to school, graduated.
Born and raised.
Yeah.
So what was the elementary school you went to? Do you remember?
Patrick Copeland.
Patrick Copeland. That's still there, right?
It's a different building, but same name. So.
How about middle school?
Carter G. Woodson.
Carter G. That's still there.
That's still there.
That's still there.
And then, of course, Hopewell High School.
Yeah.
Is that the one only high school there?
Yeah.
One high school. So, all right, man. So, I mean, we're going to jump. Well, everybody knows you're the sheriff now, but it's kind of wild. I think, to me, there's nothing better. And that's why I'm so, I mean, first of all, we know each other from working a little bit together, P-Town, Petersburg. Mm-hmm. Yep. But, you know, I think when we were talking about, you know, you coming on, and I was like, man, there is no better story than that. Local young man ends up becoming the sheriff.
Yeah. Sounds like a childhood dream.
Yeah, it really was. It started back, you mentioned Carter G. I mean, it started back in Carter G when this thought of running for sheriff one day popped into my little pea-sized brain head.
Really?
Yeah.
That far back?
Yeah, yeah. I was daydreaming like I normally did back in those days. And, you know.
Yeah.
and my grades kind of led me into law enforcement. I wasn't smart enough to get into anything else. But yeah, no, I knew back then that was a dream that I wanted to try to chase after, and you know.
Wow, I didn't know it was that long, a lifelong dream for you like that.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. That is awesome.
That is awesome. Yeah, so, I mean, most kids that age don't know what they want to do. But, I mean, your career, so you graduated high school, and I don't know the time frame, but when did you apply and get hired at Petersburg? Was that your first law enforcement job?
That was my first law enforcement job. I was back in 2004 when I started there.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah. And that was in Petersburg?
Petersburg,
yeah.
Oh, damn.
The proven grounds. Yeah, I was up at the academy. I'm taking a class under Greenberg. He asked me to come take a class that he teaches. But there was a firefighter in there from Prince George. And you know, we all introduced ourselves. And he's like, so how long did you work? He's a young kid, man. So he's like, how long did you work in Petersburg? I was like, 21 years. He's like, most people don't make it that long in Petersburg. But anyway, you know, I said most people don't. But my personnel file was so long, didn't really have a chance to go anywhere else.
Right.
That's the truth, though. But anyway, the point was, I mean, a lot of great people start there. So you started, so you started in 04. Mm-hmm. How long were you in there, though?
Not 21 years, I can tell you that. Maybe four and a half. And
then you went over to the sheriff?
Not initially. I left. I threw in the towel at that point. I said, you know what, this ain't for me. Law enforcement, you know, I was burnt out. I was more sick of the white shirts back then than I was anything else. Yeah. But, you know, it really, you know, at that time I was like, man, I just don't know if I can do this as a career. You know, right. I mean, it's very, very, you know, stressful. The job takes over so much of your life that, you know, you really don't have a home life. You're working holidays, you're working midnight shift, weekends. So it's really tough. So anybody that can do that for 21 years or longer, I mean, you know, I take my hat off to you guys. So, but no, I left initially in 2008, to go to a civilian job. Actually, when I left Petersburg, I didn't even have a job lined up. I just say, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm leaving. And I'll worry about that later. But if you remember in 2008, you know, we're looking smack into a recession and, you know, the stock market crashing and everything else. And I said, well, this ain't looking good. So I fortunate enough to know a guy that worked for a U-Haul, and he got me a job working for a U-Haul center up on West Broad by Staples Mill as an assistant manager. And, you know, I kind of did that for a year and then got a phone call from the then sheriff, Greg Anderson, who said, hey, you want to come write some tickets for me on 295?
There you go.
I said, absolutely, I will.
That's awesome. I said, you did that too for a little while.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And that's, so in 04, well, first of all, I mean, I think you're right about law enforcement. And the only bad thing about starting in Petersburg is, first of all, I mean, you hit the nail on the head with the white shirts. You know, just depending on when you were there and who you were within the agency. And I'm not trying to badmouth the agency, but and I know you're not either. But essentially, you know, so much of your success, anybody's success in any job, particularly law enforcement, depends on their supervisors. Mm-hmm. It just depends on who you were in relation to who was in command. So I think that you probably made a good decision. Yeah, I don't know how I stuck it out there so long. I just didn't have any other options. But
because you're hard-headed.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty – I am loyal like that. But I think I stayed – I mean, honestly, for the SWAT team, you know, the CRT team. I mean, we're not here talking about me, but I think that kept me there for at least 12 years. And then at that point, I was at a point of no return. You want to reach that retirement.
All right.
But anyhow, so – all right, so you get a call from – you know, and I was thinking it was the – So it was actually Anderson who called you. You started working for him.
He had another deputy call me on his behalf.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's cool, though. So then you were part of the 295, the million dollar mile.
I was one of the first. I wasn't the first out there. There was a couple deputies that were out there. I think the program started actually right around 2008.
Wow.
And I didn't get there until 2009. But yeah, so that's how I arrived at Hopewell Sheriff's Office, which, you know, I jumped to the chance to, you know, to come home and work for a department inside my hometown. And, you know, being close is, you know, it's a benefit. You know, you don't have to, it's hard to be late to work when you live in the city, you know.
That's cool, though. Well, the other part is you have a vested interest in the community.
That's right. Yeah.
That's the big part. But yeah, mm-hmm. being right there. So Anderson, he retired, and then who was the next year? That was
Luther Sodat.
Yeah, I was gonna say Sodat. I didn't want to say the wrong one, man, because mm-hmm. that'd have been sad for me. But that's who hired me.
Okay, I was wondering, is that who you yeah. were under? Mm-hmm. Now the 295 stretch, that I remember you just telling me before, that was all self sustained as far as the cars and the equipment and all that kind of stuff.
Well, by self sustained, what do you mean?
As far as, I guess, when tickets get processed.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
And the money goes towards vehicles and things like that?
Yes and no. So what happens with the revenue that's generated off of 295? It goes, it goes all to the city. Mm-hmm. They put it in the capital improvements fund is where it goes. And that's really what Hopewell uses to spend, it's walking around money, so to speak. Any kind of special project they want to, like a big H, on the Appomattox Bridge, they'll pay for that money and pave roads and that sort of thing. But, it helped keep property taxes low as well. So the sheriff at the time and the judge at the time that were, instrumental in bringing this this program to the sheriff's office, realized that and saw the benefit. And, obviously that's what brought me there. But so as far as the cars and all that and the money that's used, the city gives us a budget every year. But a portion of our budget, it's broken up into lines, but it goes towards vehicles. It goes towards equipment. If you fast forward several years, when we started the e-ticket program, mm-hmm. the city passed an amendment to the traffic fine, which added $5 per, every fine. They had a surcharge of $5 that went into a pot that was supposed to pay for the equipment.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how much of that pot, so to speak, we get, but we get a big chunk of money just from, from that. But it's a flat rate every year.
Right.
So, and speaking of cars, we're actually in a kind of a situation right now where we've ordered, 8 Dodge Durangos that I've been waiting on for over a year.
Wow.
We're still dealing with, chip shortages and that sort of thing. It's a, luckily they're sitting up at East Coast Upfitting right now. I don't know if you're familiar, but waiting to get upfitted, but, we're kind of in behind Chesapeake Police Department, and I think they've got like 80 cars.
Wow.
They're ahead of us. So our 8 are.
I was gonna say they can't bump you ahead.
You would think, but no. They said, I don't even know who that sheriff is in Hopewell. We'll just put him in the back. So,
dang.
But yeah, so we're still waiting. But yeah, we should be getting those cars. And that's actually they're actually going to be leased through Enterprise. Enterprise rental car company has a leasing program for law enforcement and that sort of thing.
I didn't know that either. I used to work at Enterprise.
Yeah, Enterprise.
Yeah, I think it's a fairly new program from my understanding. I didn't know anything about it until I took office last year.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, good for them.
Hey, real quick. So speaking to the mic one more time, Sheriff, I want to double check something.
Check.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, I just want to make sure it's working. I mean, we had a little technical stuff here.
No. All right. I moved it a little bit closer to
but
me.
Don't worry. I'm the novice. I'm looking at something. I'm like, I don't know what I'm looking at, but I just want to make sure.
Double check.
That's cool. All right. So you're self-sustained. So I guess in a sense it is. I mean, I remember, and he's passed now, and I remember going from, so I left Petersburg, I think it was 2013 or something like that. I'm terrible for years, but anyhow, Sheriff Sadat hired me, and I was actually still working for Sheriff Crawford. So I spent my last 2 years working for Sheriff Crawford. And
that's right. You went to Petersburg Sheriff's Office
when I left Petersburg and all that. So when I sued the city of Petersburg and ex-Chief Dixon or whatever, I did go to Sheriff Crawford. But, you know, and just as a side note, I told her the things that were going on there. And, I mean, this is all in the news. They had like a $12 million shortfall, if you remember all that. Mm-hmm. And some of the background to it. And she thought I was, you know, making the story up or I was crazy. But, yeah, it ended up being all factual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, anyway, the point is she reached out to the sheriff. And I'm always appreciative for her for that. And then Sheriff Sadat hired me. But two things. One, y'all did have all this great equipment. You know, so I'm coming from Petersburg, and you remember that. I mean, we had to share cars. Yeah. Like the first duty belt I had was used. I mean, So I'm walking in there like a kid in a candy shop, man. Because Hopewell Sheriff's Office, they had the stuff together, and all great equipment. You know, and Jim McEnroe was in charge at the time, and you know, he told me he probably the one that told me a lot of self sustaining. That's probably where my son got it from. But and it probably, you know,
I was wondering too, because I know that's all you did. You didn't run any other calls
or you
weren't on the street.
No, we didn't. But I think that's when that Dallas shooting had happened. Remember that?
And
so the chief at the time, and I'm not sure, was it it starts with a K, I think.
Cohane.
He asked if, and the sheriff is like, you know, he said, can we double officers up, deputies and officers?
Okay.
And so, I mean, the working relationship, and I assume it's the same, I guess, between you guys and the PD, in a sense.
We've really, you know, worked hard at building that relationship.
Good.
And you know, I'm not speaking out of turn. I mean, they've told me, some of their command staff have told me personally, that this is the best working relationship they ever had with the Hopewell Sheriff's Office.
That's it. And that's huge. Yeah, I mean, because, you know, And for you, Sheriff, and then for the chief there, and for the personnel. I mean, if you recall, and this is no slight on, you know, Sheriff Crawford, but when I was in Petersburg, rather, it was a terrible working relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It was the people at the bottom had no control. It was it was all this fighting at the top, you know.
Yeah.
But that's great that you guys can work together, and that's what we did. So we did answer some calls of service if there was a need. And if we need help on 295, when I was there, you know, Hopewell PD was going to come help. So,
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. That's what you want.
Yeah. So, in fact, so in 04, I'm trying to think what I was doing, because you were there. But so what do you remember who you were under? I mean, this is back in Petersburg. I mean, I'm not trying to bring up anything negative.
So my first.
Were you on Knights or something?
I was on Knights, 300 Alpha. The land of misfit toys, I think, is they put all the rejects on that one shift. So
I was on a shift like that too, but I was wondering, because, you know, I knew you were there, but we didn't. My son asked where you got here, if we worked specifically together, but we really didn't have a chance.
No, I think you were in investigations when I was there.
Okay. Yeah, I can't remember.
You were off the street.
Well, yeah, in Petersburg, if you know, you're in investigations, but then if you mess up or they don't like you, they throw you back on patrol again. You know, so a lot of guys went from, I mean, and we had some great officers there that were put back in patrol, and they, you know, they never should have been put back in patrol. I mean, not that anything's wrong with patrol, but they should have been able to retire from where they spent the majority of their careers. And I won't name the guy, but I mean, he did something, made somebody mad, and he retired as a patrol officer, which was, you know, okay, no problem. Because he's, you know, we called the slugs. We called our squad the slug squad, because all the rejects were put on that squad.
Yeah.
Whoever, anyway. We digress, but I was trying to figure out how we, you know, didn't necessarily, you know, work together. But I think that's probably what it is. But then we got to work together on 295,
right?
I mean, and you know, even then I was like, you know, when I saw you and we came back in contact, I was like, man, this guy's pretty cool, man. I mean, you treated me decent then too, so even from that point, and I was like, and not that you wouldn't have, but I knew you were a good guy then, so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I try to treat everybody the same. You know, that's true. It doesn't matter. You know, just quickly, a quick story. When I worked in Sussex, you know, Sussex is a full service sheriff's office.
Hey, and, you were there too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. That's where I was at actually when I won the election. So I was working for Sussex County Sheriff's Office.
That's right. Okay, I remember that.
And, you know, they had a jail.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
And it was nothing for, you know, you come in, you come into the office, go up to the patrol room, 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, going to write a report or something. And there's just a trustee, you know, taking the trash, you know, picking up trash and all that, just walking around, you know. And it was a little jarring at first, but, yeah. You know, I mean, it's just how it was down there, you know, the country. I mean, they, yeah. You know, it's a little different. Things go a little different down there. But yeah, I mean, you know, you're speaking to somebody that's obviously incarcerated for something. I never asked them what they were in there for and didn't really care. But, you know, I still, you know, sir, you know.
That's right.
You still treat people with respect because you should, you know, nobody should be judged by one singular incident.
No, I agree with that, yeah.
You know, now you string a few of those together, then maybe you can, you know, your opinion can kind of hold a little more weight. But, you know, I try to look at everybody as a multifaceted type of, you know, creatures. And, you know, we're none of us are defined by one, you know, specific moment in time or incident. So just treat everybody with respect unless they, you know, force you to do otherwise. And then,
right.
But, you know, it's just kind of the philosophy I have. So, yeah, that's a long way of saying that, you know, I mean, I appreciate you saying that. But
no, that's true.
But I really just try to do that. I guess I learned that from my mama.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That's the best
teaching.
That's one of the best gifts to have, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah, and that makes sense. Yeah. But, all right, so that was in 2000. When did you, so Sheriff Sadat decided to retire, you decided to run for sheriff.
Yep.
That was in
2017.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just a backtrack, you right out of high school, you got into law enforcement?
No, I went to college, you know, I did that route, got my bachelor's in criminal justice, you know, thinking, you know, I'd be, you know, hired on the first attempt, you know, with a college degree. And
where'd you go to college?
I went to Chowan University. It's where I got my bachelor's. That's after I transferred from, you know, my parents were not too excited about my prospect of going to college out of high school, you know, wasn't the best student, but, you know, I think on my report cards, I would get, does not apply himself quite frequently or talks too much or something, you know,
that's
but,
right.
But yeah. So they were like, do a junior college first, you know, do something small first. And if you do well at that, you know, then we'll think about going to a 4-year. And that's what I did. I went to John Tyler and got my associates and in police science there. And, you know, and really, you know, kind of found my own way, scholastically, in John Tyler on the dean's list and all that, you know, I guess that little success that I had never had in high school and the change of pace from, you know, not doing the same classes every single day to kind of having things broken up, I think suited me a lot better and all that. And
you, like I said, I mean, you probably cared about it more than.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, I can't, probably can't say it on the podcast, what my dad told me, but, you know, he basically don't mess up, you know.
Yeah, I got
it. Mean, he's paying for it, so don't mess up.
No, that's right. No.
So, this ain't public school anymore, you know. You're not getting this education for free.
A little more money involved.
That's right.
So. It is. But yeah, that's cool though. I'm sorry I didn't ask you that because I didn't know that. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I did the same thing, dude. I don't think it's unusual for boys and young men usually mature, you know, later than say women. It's just what it is. It's biological.
Yeah. So you transfer from there into.
I did. Yeah. And I played football for them and you know, got my bachelor's and, you know, graduated. And Then it was only 3 years, I think, it took me to finally get hired by someone, which was Petersburg. Because, I mean, back in those days, you know, everybody was looking for certified officers. And, of course, I'm like, well, how do you get certified if nobody will hire you?
No, you're right. It's funny how that's changed over time. Like, when I got hired in 94 in Petersburg, I was, like, the only person there for any college. Everybody was prior military. They like, that's not a big deal. They didn't care about college. They wanted you know, people with some discipline and some proven success. Mm-hmm. And now you fast forward to 04. But, yeah, you're right. It's changed who they're trying to hire, because now there's a whole other standard. And I think now they're just trying to get people. But,
yeah,
it comes and goes. It's like a wave. But that's pretty cool. So, Chauwan, is that in North Carolina? Or
is it? Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to ask. I didn't even know where it was. Now, you play football. What position did you play?
I was a tight end, which is a position I never played in high school.
I would have guessed that.
I learned a whole new position. yeah, but, you know.
Any highlights?
They were not a passing to the tight end team, I would say. but I will say every one of my receptions either resulted in a touchdown or a first down. So I'm pretty proud about those stats.
Damn.
Yeah. That's what we're talking. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's so, you know, when the sheriff came in, we're like, hey, dude, we had to upgrade our mic stands. Cause I was like, the other ones were like, I can lean into it, but I'm like, you know, 5'6" or something. But we had to upgrade.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely nice.
Yeah, these are back a little bit. We're trying to find, you know, the most decent stuff we could afford to get. But anyway, so we had to upgrade for you, your size of tight end.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah.
And you get the complimentary on the heel cut.
Look, that was worth the price of getting over here. You know, I do. That's nice. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. No, we appreciate it. So that is cool, man. And that's what I like about this format, is we don't really plan this out. And, that's cool, dude. I like that. Yeah.
And because we talked to my brother-in-law, because he said after high school, he went to school, kind of flunked out of college, and then spent like, I think it was also 2 or 3 years kind of in limbo. Mm-hmm. And were you working like just part-time jobs in that time?
Yeah. I was actually doing 3 part-time jobs when I got hired by Petersburg. I was bouncing, go figure. doing landscaping.
I believe it too.
Yeah, landscaping, and I was actually substitute teaching as well up at high school.
Oh,
that's
cool. So you get that too. I taught for 5 years, and
yeah.
I do HVAC now, but that's not an easy job, especially subbing. I think that's harder than
it was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. Not the work itself, but you know, trying to control. You know, not being able to just jerk a kid up and, you know, but no, I really enjoyed it.
Well, the kids, you know, they see a substitute and they're like, whoa, it's a play free day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Eric taught 5 years in Prince George. And mm-hmm. then, actually this summer you switched over to HVAC.
Yeah. Made the switch just underpaid and just overworked. And I was like, you know what? I'm like going to try something else. And
yeah,
I actually had a cool story today. Because, you know, big part of teaching is, you know, you kind of make a difference every day. You kind of mm-hmm. see it right there and then. I'm not comparing HVAC to police work, but usually when you see a customer, they're unhappy. Mm-hmm. They've been in the heat for 3 or 4 days. And depending on the situation, this lady, her husband was in hospice at home. Mm. I think he had about a week to live, I think she was saying. And she welcomed us with a smile and... of all the customers we've had in the summer, it's like she was one of the most happy-go-lucky, just that we were there and responded to her. Right. And then she started telling us her situation, and it was like, lady, how are you even talking to us right now? Mm-hmm. And the part didn't come in, so we came back and gave her window units today. I mean, she was giving us hugs, and we were all sitting there choked up crying. And mm-hmm. so like, that's what any job where you're helping people, I mean, that's really what it's all about.
And yeah, absolutely.
You see somebody at their worst, and she's just happy for us to be there for her and her husband. And yeah, that was one of those moments I was like, yeah, I'm still making a difference. And
I think so.
And you know, I think she may have been a little upset at the office ladies, and they're like, you know, just be careful. Mm-hmm. This lady seemed a little upset. When you get there, and we were nice to her when we walked in, and we figured out what was really happening. That's like what you said, just treat everybody with mm-hmm. respect, and we got her some AC, which was good. But you know, you just never know what someone's going through.
Particularly if her husband on hospice, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I found, 99% of the time, you know, people just want to be heard. You know, oh, yeah. I mean, they feel like nobody listens to them. And, you know, in that situation, she's probably calling and, you know, and I understand everybody's busy and all that, but, you know, they're just trying to find out what the problem is and get off the phone and exactly. moving on to the next when the phones are constantly ringing. So I can understand that, but she was, you know, understandably upset and, you know, felt like her situation was very important and, yeah. and it was to her. And
it's probably hard to bring up on the phone to somebody right. you don't know.
Right. Yeah. yeah. But yeah, I mean, just listening, I found to be just tremendous as far as getting cooperation and all that, you know. I mean, 99% of the time, that's all they want is to be heard.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
just treat them like any yeah. other person.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Yeah, and yeah. All right, so we jump back to college. So all right, so you decide when the sheriff decides to retire, you run.
And, yeah. Well, actually, I mean he actually was the one that approached me about running. You know, he approached me about 2 months or so before he announced that he was going to retire, and you know, kind of tipped me off, and you know, to say that, look, you know, I'm thinking about retiring, and you know, if I do, you know, or, you know, if he, this is him speaking, if,
yes, sir,
he said,
yeah.
if I do retire, you know, would you be interested in running? And I told him, I said, well, I mean, I told you before that I wouldn't have any interest in running, but if, you know, you ever decide to retire, you know, then I'd take a look at it at that point. So, you know, basically from that conversation, you know, he just told me just to keep that in mind, and he'd let me know when he made a decision. And like I said, I talked it over with some people, and about 2 months later, he came to me and asked me if I was ready. And I said, yeah, I'm ready. And that's kind of how that happened.
That's good.
Yeah. And you were in Sussex at that time?
No, I was Hopewell Sheriff's Office.
Oh, you were in
Hopewell. He was employed there, so when the sheriff left, he ran.
I got you.
But
I
he had a competitor that was somebody that also worked for the sheriff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was kind of a curveball that nobody saw coming. The captain at the time, you know, threw his name in the hat and decided he was going to run, which at that time, the sheriff, you know, Luther Sodat, kind of, you know, threw his hands up, was like, well, since both of y'all are running, you know, I'm going to stay out of it instead of coming out and endorsing me. So it kind of, you know, put me a little at a disadvantage,
right,
you know, being not that high on the totem pole at that time.
Right.
To have a, you know, the number two guy, you know, deciding to run as well. So,
yeah, man, it was tough.
Yeah, it was a little tough situation.
And what were you, I guess, what was your rank when you ran?
Corporal.
Corporal, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he was a corporal. He ran, and then not the outcome you wanted.
No, but learned a lot of lessons.
Right.
And you know, we took that lesson into the second go-round 4 years later and, you know, corrected what we felt like needed to be corrected, and it worked out in our favor.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, like I said, man.
And it probably worked out for the best too. You probably learned some stuff along the way. And
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think people learn more from defeats and failures than they do from successes, you know?
Yeah. And there, not to go into it, there was some controversy in that election, but, I think it's kind of like with you, with the, like you said, out of high school, you know, and it's not unusual. I mean, I had the same path. I mean, I had to go to a junior college too, but you didn't give up. You didn't quit. So, four years later, you ran again, and now you're sitting here as a sheriff.
Yeah.
So that's pretty, I think it's pretty badass.
Yeah. In your hometown.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're very grateful for this opportunity and you know, we're just trying to work hard. You know, I always say the easy part was to win the election. Now the hard part is to stay there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I told everybody at the office on day one that, you know, I'm already running for my next campaign because, you know,
that's right.
It's 24/7. You got to stay on it, you know, and people need to see, you know, see what you're doing and see you, period, you know, to know that you're present and you're, you know, taking it seriously. So that's what we've tried to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, your command staff. So, you know, the sheriff's elected official, they run every 4 years. And really, in a lot of ways, the most powerful law enforcement official in the city, right?
Yeah. 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 I mean, by rank, I outrank the police chief.
That's right.
Because I'm elected. So,
Yeah,
so it's
a lot of people don't know that yet.
Yeah. I just know that from you telling me. But
yeah,
in the broad, I guess broad scheme, what do you kind of oversee on your day to day?
So, you know, I joke and very jokingly like to remind everybody that every day since January the 2nd, I've been working for free. By law, I'm only required to work one day a year. Literally, my only job is to get reelected.
Wow.
That being said.
Yeah, of course, yeah, you're not
you
doing
do a
that.
Lot more than that.
Yeah. That is a perfect example of just because you can don't mean you should. Yeah, I put in 13-hour Saturdays. I mean, I try to work as much as I can,
right.
It's not that foreign a sight to see me pulling up on a call for service. I mean, I've made one felony arrest, as sheriff already,
that's a bad day right there.
I never want to lose those skills. It doesn't matter what my role is because you never know what's going to happen. So I want to keep my skills sharp. I'm actually going to SWAT school in a couple weeks.
There you go.
Me and my chief deputy are both doing it. And, nothing like being in your mid-40s to 50 years old, deciding, hey, I don't know if it's a midlife crisis or what, but we're still ready to knock down doors and,
I'm ready to join you. Shit, I'm retired. I'll come out of retirement for that.
I'm telling you, it's, we've got a lot of things going. So,
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Where's that going to be? I know you did yours and.
Well, you're doing yours through Crater with
Crater, yeah.
Charlie Winslow. He knows what he's talking about. He's a, I think he retired from Portsmouth. He was their commander. But, I went to this 2-week school in Norfolk. And Patterson.
That's
and
what I was thinking.
Anthony Patterson and I. Mm-hmm. And we thought it was like a regular school.
No.
It was their 2-week tryout for their team. They didn't tell us that, but we were allowed to come and participate. But it was that was pure hell to do. But when you say that, like my blood pressure shoots up. I'm ready to, assume the shield, man, and get to work. But anyway, so that's cool. But I mean, you lead by example. So when you said your deputy sheriff, right? What's it called? Chief?
Chief deputy.
Chief deputy. Chief deputy. So that's who's that?
Mark Lilly.
Yeah, Mark Lilly. Yeah. And then his brother is also
Mike. There. Yep.
Mike Lilly. All started in Petersburg.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then and all left. Your training guy also started in Petersburg.
Will Mayer. Yep. Yeah.
So not only I'm saying this is I know all these guys and I knew when you got elected, I was like, man, I'm nobody to give any advice about being the sheriff, but I was like, just surround yourself with the right people. And you did. So, I mean, you are not only did you surround yourself with people that you knew and trusted, these guys are, I mean, they're top notch.
Yeah. Yeah. Have the experience.
They have the experience.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hard workers. I mean, these guys are like, if you had to go to battle, you couldn't have a more. If you act crazy in Hopewell and the sheriff's department or the courtroom, rather, it's going to be a good day for you. I'm just giving that warning to the general public. That ain't the courtroom to play in.
Yeah, we've got some rather large fellas.
Yeah. So, like,
arm wrestling champions. And
it's just cool, man. I mean, it's like a dream come true. So I imagine going to work would be like, almost a dream come true for you in a way. Makes it so much nicer. And you knew from experience from coming from an agency that had substandard leaders, how to lead people, how you didn't want to treat your own people. So.
Well, I mean, that's just it. They don't really, in the new sheriff school, they didn't really tell you, you know, how to do the job. You know, they just tell you what kind of expect, and you know, some hiring practice, legal stuff, and that sort of thing. But you know, 2.5 days later, they're all right. See you. You know, you'll be a sheriff.
2.5 days.
2.5 days. That's all it was. And okay. So yeah, I mean, really, I mean, you know, when I won the election, I was literally had no rank. I was just a deputy in, you know, Sussex County. So being basically from the bottom going straight to the top, you know, I was like, oh wow, this is a
Has a
potential to go really bad, you know, if I don't get my stuff together. So, and really my leadership style is just basically, you know, learn from other supervisors that I've had, and I've taken things that I liked that they did, and I avoid things that I hated, and you know, ultimately, you know, that formula seems to be working because I'm. You know, happy to say I'm at full staff and have been for the entirety of my time in office. And I mean, we're getting applications coming in, even though we're telling them, look, we don't have any positions. They're like, just hold it, just in case. I mean, we've got basically a waiting list to come work for Hopewell Sheriff's Office.
Words out, man.
That's great. Yeah,
it's
What's the number in the?
We're not a big agency, obviously. We're not the primary law enforcement in Hopewell, but we've got a total of 16 or 13 maybe, 13 full-time, but a total of 30 employees altogether, including me, you know, so I make the 30.
Yeah,
awesome. And like I say, I'm the only non-essential employee we have, so, you know, everybody else there does a great job, and, you know, they keep that place running, and, you know, I just get to be a politician, so.
Yeah, but, I mean, you're out there. I mean, there's a difference. So you're a politician, but you're also out there leading by example. Like you said, made a felony arrest. I was like, hello.
Yeah, that's what I said. That'd be a bad day for that guy.
You're like, I know him since we were teenagers. That made it a little uncomfortable.
I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, so let's see. You grew up there. How much has Hopewell changed? You know, I lived in Hopewell for almost. In fact, your first year when you were born, we lived there for a year, 224 South 17th Avenue, and we think we lived there 8 or 9 years. But I mean, I noticed a difference. I mean, and I know you're not putting the city down or anything, but I mean, there is a difference in talking to some of the officers. There, a lot more drugs are prevalent, only in certain areas and stuff. Have you noticed any of that? Or
it's pretty much, you know, I mean, that's really always been the case. The only difference now is social media,
right? Okay,
you know, that plays a big part in it. If you know, we didn't have social media in the 80s and 90s. So a lot of the stuff was still going on. It just, you know, didn't go viral.
You see more of it.
Yeah.
We kind of talked about that with Dr. Greenberg. Mm-hmm. He's like, one 20-second clip can be seen 20,000 times.
Yep.
And it makes it that much more prevalent and sticks in your head.
You know, in the media, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. You know, they like to push that stuff. And, you know, I'm grateful for guys like Wayne Koval.
Yeah.
He's
police friendly.
He's very police friendly. And he reached out to me, you know, during the height of all the shootings and all. And I wanted to do a positive story, and, you know, and I was happy to take part in that, and, you know, kind of show them the things that we were doing as far as the sheriff's office to try to, you know, ease people's minds that, look, it's not as bad as you think it is. Yes, a lot of attention is being brought to Hopewell right now, but, you know, there's some things going on that, you know, we can't really talk about, but there's a lot of good going on behind the scenes. And that's being seen now with the lack of, you know, major events here, quite a little stretch.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That helps out.
Yeah, because you guys, I mean, and it's, you know, crime, you can't predict where crime's going to happen. And I think social media certainly plays a role in it. You know, at least people know where everybody is at any given time now, and they can organize faster. You know, like I said, when you said I was in investigations, you know, I did a lot of stuff there, but it, even though there wasn't social media or even the height of like the cell phones were just like regular phones, they're not like a little mini computer, people still would get information, but it's just not as fast, you know?
Yeah.
And the negativity that you see now is just the sign of the times, but hopefully, you know, it makes a turnaround. So I know you plan on running again.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, plan on running several times.
That's right. You know, you got quite a long time. You're building this team of great deputies, building this great agency. But I mean, what is your what is it something that if here's a free chance or you know, to put a word out to the people, potential voters? I mean, any message you'd like to send out?
Just basically, you know, understand that we are, you know, we're working extremely hard and to try to bring what I believe is one of the most basic human rights is the, you know, safety and security.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, everyone should feel safe where they live. And, you know, it's why I never really understood why there used to be beef between sheriff's offices and police departments. And, yeah. And I think the first person in my office when I took over at the time was Chief Stark.
Yeah.
And, you know, I told him, I said, look, I don't know, you know, what's been going on the last 4 years. I wasn't here, but, I don't know the relationship, you know, how, you know, good or bad. I said, you know, I wasn't privy to those conversations. I said, the only thing I can think of is his egos.
Yeah.
And, you know, I assured him and I've since assured, you know, Chief Taylor and Donnie Reed when he was the interim chief and kind of holding it down as the major, you know, I don't have an ego. You know, we're here to help any way we can. And, you know, and that's what we've tried to do, and it's being noticed, and I'm thankful for that. You know, I haven't, you know, at least personally heard anything bad, you know, being said. So, yeah, I guess we're doing okay.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, there is, like I said, man, there's nothing to me any better of a story than this. Really, I mean, I'm just being from the heart. I told you that when we were messaging back and forth, and I appreciate you coming on, but. You know, the message for us here is on this particular show is just to give people opportunities to tell a story. And also in your case, you know, since you're an elected official, get the word out of what you're trying to do for the community and what you are doing for the community. So, I mean, I don't think anything more important than that. I think when you said that, you know, people just want to be heard, that is, I mean, you got to be careful as law enforcement. You got to think about your own safety and the safety of others. But at the right time and place, people do just want to be heard.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's a big thing.
I mean, even like I remember fighting, you know, people in Petersburg and getting them under arrest. And then, you know, so you're literally fighting somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this probably brings up some memories for you too. And then you're riding because we had to process everybody. We had to arrest them, fingerprint them, photograph them and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a little more time together. And in that de-escalation time when it was over, I'd ask these guys, you know, what were you thinking? And they're like, you know, hey, I wasn't thinking. Mm-hmm. This wasn't personal against you. You know, this is the situation that was going on. And, you know, unfortunately, we couldn't have come to that situation. We couldn't have come to the verbalization of it at the time because, you know, it wasn't the right time. But
yeah.
Later, we were able to do that. So they just really wanted to be heard.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Now, something stuck in my head. You said you had 2.5 days of training, I guess you call it.
New sheriff school.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there anyone now you reach out to and kind of reach out for help, or is it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you mentioned Sheriff Crawford and Vanessa's. She's been great. You know, she's always there to help. Of course, I worked for Chief Giles in Sussex, and another great guy. You know, I still have some of the retired sheriffs. You know, one that hired me and. And then the one after him that I can reach out to if I need anything, you know, Sheriff Todd Wilson out in Colonial Heights and Sheriff Leonard in Chesterfield. I mean, a lot of these guys, you know, I've gotten to know. And you know, the thing about sheriffs, there's 123 sheriffs in Virginia.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we're kind of a small fraternity.
Yeah,
and it doesn't matter, you know, if you're the longest tenured sheriff or the brand new, just won an election, every one of them is there to help each other if you need it.
That's cool. Man, I just cool. I didn't think about that.
And you guys have a chance to talk and
sure. Yeah, meet. We have two conferences a year, and then there's a national conference. I was, you know, blessed to be able to attend the two so far that I've had That's a chance nice. To attend, and also getting to meet sheriffs from all over the country, but like I said, the local conferences are great to get to know a lot of the ones that, you know, that you don't see on a daily basis or talk to, and then of course you have the little group that you came in with, It's almost like when you get in the academy, you know, your academy buddies tend to be lifelong friends.
That's right.
You know, those of us that won our elections that year will be, you know, forever bonded you know, because of that. So, you know, I have, you know, a couple guys over in the Shenandoah Valley that I talk to on a regular basis, you know.
You said y'all have like little group chats and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, we have group chats. We've got emails. I mean, we, you know, there's
cool. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of, I mean, when I was teaching, it's kind of for any job like that where you oversee something, and mm-hmm. you know, I think it's the same for principals, or if you're fire chief, police chief, is, you know, you have this role and you oversee a bunch of people and you see them every day, but you don't really share that with anybody on a daily basis, because like, you are the guy in Hopewell, mm-hmm. and you don't really have someone next door to you can go, hey, you know, you guys are sharing the same experiences day to day. So I think it's cool that you guys can meet up, and mm-hmm. I'm sure the conferences are special because you actually get to relate with people who are doing the same work that you do every day.
Yeah. No, it is. It's great. You know, the networking is great because, like I say, you never know when a situation will come up, and, you know, somebody in, you know, Northern Virginia, you know, you can reach out to for certain things, and somebody out in the western part of state, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, we've got a directory where I can call any one of them, you know, whether I know them or not. I mean, but they'll answer the phone. I mean, you know, it's a sheriff answering for another sheriff, and, you know, they're always willing to do that and help wherever they can. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
So, is there anything outside of police world that you enjoy doing on free time, or?
I mean, I like working out, you know, trying to keep my body as strong as I can possibly keep it, you know. If I could walk away from the cheesecake, I'd be doing a lot better, but
that's my problem.
You know,
sweets are the hardest
part. Yeah, I mean, you can't outwork out a bad diet, and so they say, and I'm living proof of that, so. Just like I said, I'm trying to stay as able-bodied as I can, because I do try to lead by example, as you said earlier, I don't expect my deputies to do anything that I'm not willing to do myself.
Yeah, because I think we've talked about that before. So you walk in, I'm not putting anybody down, but you say you walk into the doctor's office and someone who's unhealthy and, you know, maybe out of shape is trying to tell you how to get into shape and how to do something, and you're like,
yeah, the doctor's out of shape trying to tell you to be in shape, but, you know, it's kind of contradictory, you know.
Yeah, so you get a lot of that. You get a lot of that, but
keeping yourself in shape, and
yeah, I'm trying. Is a shape, I guess, some form or another. But we're always a work in progress.
It says a lot, though, you know, for you to keep doing it and be in shape. So later, you know, not now, I'm saying later on, you have a deputy that he's from New York State, right? From New York City, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I guess I can say his name, Nassar, but he was my recruit and my last class of 99th BLE. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he has a story, and basically, you know, I don't know what nationality he is. He's Middle Eastern, I know that. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, after 9/11, he was in New York, and, you know, he was the blunt of, because he had nothing to do with anything to do with 9/11, of course. I'm not, and, you know, it's only a small handful of people, but he, you know, during that time, he was assaulted and accused of being mm-hmm. part of it just by his nationality.
Right.
But he always wanted to be a law enforcement officer. So he, and even law enforcement didn't really back him up there, because, you know, you can imagine, mm-hmm. Not that they should have, but of course everybody's, you know, so emotional during that time frame.
Yeah.
But anyway, he moves to this area, and the sheriff, you end up hiring him. I mean, he's so emotional about that. At least he was when he came to the academy. I've never seen anybody go through so much negativity and then still have, you know, faith in the system, and you gave him that chance. I think, you know, that was huge, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can't take credit for hiring him. He was actually there when I got there, but
you sent him to the law enforcement.
I sent him to the academy, and right. I promised him, you know, that I'd send him if I won the election,
So, I didn't mean to interrupt you, sir, but there's a difference. So, you know, you can go to the jail or academy, and this, I'm not saying there's any one's better than the other, but he just have more authority. So you send him to the basic law enforcement where he has mm-hmm. all arrest powers and all that. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's what he you know, he was so proud of himself for that. And, you know, I was thinking about this. I was like, you know, you're like the person that, you know, gives second chances, but it wasn't really a second chance. It's a first chance.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And a lot of your staff, and you're humble about it, but you've given some guys that were, you know, that maybe had lost their way for a little bit of time, like we all do. I've definitely lost my way before, and now they're working for you, and they're dedicated to the city and dedicated to you. So,
mm-hmm.
says a lot about you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it goes back to what I was saying earlier. You know, I don't judge people by singularity, you know, moments in time. And, you know, I do believe people have that potential to grow and mature and all that. And I include myself in that.
Because some people
I've lost my way a few times, you know. I haven't lived a, you know, perfect life and done everything right. So, like I said, you learn more from the mistakes and that sort of thing than you do from any successes. So,
yeah,
that's awesome. So, and last thing, I guess we're gonna hold you up too long is you got engaged this year. It looked like. I mean, I only know that through social media. So I asked you if I could ask you off air, but.
Sure. Yeah. No, it was a long time coming. Like I tell her, you know, I've got a very extensive background check process, and it took 12 years to go ahead and move into the next phase in the interview process.
Well, that's all right.
So, you know,
I mean, first of all, I mean, your fiance, she owns her own business, or she's a business.
She's a hairstylist. I mean, she's technically a subcontractor. She rents a booth, you know, in a hair salon. Yeah. I think that's how that works. But you know, I don't know if that's lucrative or not. She didn't give me any of her money, so I don't, you know, I don't know what she makes. But
I mean, you've been together for a long time, and you know. I just want to say congratulations on that. Yeah,
it's awesome.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. It took me 9 years to engage, so.
Yeah, just, you know, I mean.
You gotta test the waters, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, you know.
You got to make sure everything's lining up.
Look, I'm going to make sure everything, I must comb through, you know, every little hair and detail. And
No, I'm kidding. Honestly, I'm just lucky she stayed with me for
that's
years.
What I'm sitting here now. When the sheriff walked in, he introduced him to my wife, and he said, you deserve a medal for sticking with this guy.
I think I know you better than she does.
Yeah, I think you do too, in some respects. Yeah. But anyway, those stories will remain hidden in the chest forever.
For another day.
But but what I'm getting around to is, so my son's fiance, now his wife, she's a nurse now. She's stunning. I was like, I remember at their wedding, I'm like, okay. Because I got to do a little speech, you know. I was like, "Hey, dude," and I was like, "How did this happen?" Because I mean, she's a wonderful person. Now I've only seen pictures of your fiance, but she's a beautiful lady, and I'm looking at you, and I know you, you know, some level, but and then I was like, "Man, she must have really cared about you to hang out there for them 12 years."
Yeah, she's a very lucky girl.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, she seems like a great person.
She is. Yeah, she's put up with me for that long, and you know, and she's been with me in some very, very, you know,
trying times,
and trying times, and so, you know, I felt nothing else. You know, she's definitely earned that rock that she's got on her hand right now.
Did y'all? I mean, I'm not trying to get. I only know from social media, but y'all. Where'd y'all go? Like, if you don't mind me asking.
Yeah, we went on a cruise. Neither one of us had been on a cruise before, so we took a cruise and
how'd you like it?
Oh, I loved it. She not so much. She you know,
oh, really?
she didn't really do the motion sickness thing too well, and you know,
that'd get you.
I wasn't affected, thankfully. I never took anything or no patches or anything, but wow. I was fine. But yeah, no, she had a rough time of it, but you know.
Yeah, that makes it no fun.
Did y'all hit the Caribbean?
Yeah, we stopped at Half Moon Cay, which is Carnival's Island in the Bahamas, and then the next stop was Turks and Caicos.
Yeah, that's I knew it. That's what I was getting around to.
We went there last summer, two summers ago.
Yeah, I was going to say we went to Turks and Caicos. What'd you think about that?
We enjoyed it. You know, that other than, you know, the amount of drugs that you were able to purchase right there on the beach from some of the locals, we ended up taking a tour of the island and, you know, that was fun. You know, I mean, it's weird because, if you go to Turks and Caicos and actually visit the island, literally wild donkeys just roaming around.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild.
So we got to feed some donkeys and, you know, and that was pretty fun. And then our last stop was Dominican Republic, which was nice as well. We spent the day at a resort, kind of took advantage of that resort for the day and, you know,
be
somewhere I'd like to, you know, maybe go back to and actually just stay at the resort. But it was, you know, it was very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought you'd gone to Turks. I didn't know.
It was a 5-day cruise?
It was 8, actually. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 8-day. Yeah.
I always wonder because one of my buddies said, he said 7 days was too long and 5 days was good. But I've heard different from everybody.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on whether you like the water and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I was fine.
Yeah. But yeah, if you get sick, yeah, it'd be tough. Yeah.
She had more of a rough time with it than I did, but I enjoyed it. I'd like to go back.
You know?
Now 8 days, you know, that is a little long. Yeah. You know, so maybe a shorter one would be fine. But, you know, like I said, I mean, we didn't really know one way or another when we booked it. We had some other friends going, and, you know, they were already booked for this cruise. So we were kind of stuck with what they chose. And like I said, they're all cruise veterans, and we were the newbies. But, you know, it was, like I said, all in all, it was fun.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. But if you get a chance, I mean, we stayed at
it was the Beaches.
Beaches Resort and Turks. So, you know, it is like that in a lot of these they're not third world countries, but I mean, they're outside the resorts, it's almost, you know, it's night and day. But we did enjoy it. It's beautiful. If you get a chance to, if you wanted to go back, I think Beaches, it's a pretty nice resort.
Man. Okay.
But when you're from back and forth from the airport, it is like a whole nother world. You're like, what in the world, man?
And then driving the left side of the road because it's a British colony.
It's a British colony, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, we were on the beach, and the guy didn't come with me. I guess I still look like a cop because I'm not, but retired. But he asked my sister-in-law if she wanted some weed right here. Yeah. I was like, "You want some weed, man?" You know.
See, that reminds me of Cancun.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Same thing.
We were on the beach in Cancun. That's the first time I've ever been out of the country.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, we took that vacation right after the 2017 election. You know, I was hoping that was going to be a celebration, but you know. It was a good rest and relaxation to go lick my wounds and all. But yeah, we were on the beach one day, and this gentleman walked up to me and asked me if I wanted, you know, weed, cocaine. I said, "Dang. Policia." He said, "Oh, good thing I'm in Mexico." I said,
"Good thing.
10-4.
That would be terrifying. No telling what you'd get down there, but who knows?
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, no, it was nice, you know, the people were real nice and all that, but it was just funny because it was wide open. I'm like, wow, this is a little different than Virginia Beach, I'm guessing. So. A
different world, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, shoot, nowadays you can almost do it now, buy it in Virginia Beach, I guess. You can gift it to somebody, so anyway.
I guess there is still a limit in Virginia, right, about growing it?
Growing it, you can have up to 4 plants.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, and I think you can have
up to an ounce, I believe.
Yeah, up to an ounce.
Consider that personal use.
On personal use.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I was in a house today. They'd been way more than that.
Yeah,
they had like the indoor tents with the lights and stuff.
What?
I'm not gonna give it. You know.
Yeah, hell no. Don't get involved in that stuff. Great God.
But it was 3 separate tents and.
Well, at least they had it covered, you know, when I was campaigning, covered. You know, I walked up on some front porches and I'm like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. If you can remember, vote for me.
If you can remember, vote for me. Well, it's legal now, so hey.
Yeah. Well, not that many plants, but yeah.
I mean, oh, it was like a lot. Yeah. I mean, it was this times, you know, this size of this table. I was like, good Lord. Oh, I think God. I got all secondhand right. Just walking in there, but.
And then we had the chief of Chesterfield calling us.
I'm not going to say where I was, so what county I was in.
That's right. You may not have been in Chesterfield.
Yeah. Maybe I was. Maybe I wasn't. I wasn't in Hopewell, though, so I can assure you of that.
The sheriff can be rest assured it's not in his under his purview, right?
It is, you know, it's hard to get arrested by me, you know. I mean,
you got to try.
You got to really try hard because, the felony arrest I made, he actually walked into my office to make, you know, to get arrested. So,
that's
kind of like, you know, walking the fly going into the Venus flytrap. So
he walked in it to be arrested.
Well, he's a convicted felon and he was coming to pick up his ammunition in his book bag that he left unattended. Yeah.
Well, wow. That'll do it.
That will do it for you.
I said, well, it's funny you mentioned that. So
yeah, before we sign off, the civilian you have working there, I know you probably have some, but she works up at the front. And we give her any props. I don't know. Can't think of her name, though.
Jessica.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I didn't know if, I just know she was there when I was there for that couple of years. And at the SARS graduation, I saw her there with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
She's been a big help.
Oh, absolutely. I tell her all the time. I tell her parents all the time. I mean, she's the MVP of the office. I mean,
that's right. Kinda, that's kind of like Sam at the academy, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yep. I mean, you know, that's why we gave her a pretty substantial raise when we got there, when I saw all the stuff that she does.
Right. I know she appreciates that.
Yeah, we definitely wanted to show that gratitude, you know, and kind of bump her up because, you know, before I got there, you know, I didn't really know what she did. I didn't know what a lot of people did. You know, I was always out of the office on 295.
Right. Working, yeah.
You know, so when you see somebody and they seem like, you know, they're always just chit-chatting and not really working, you're like, man, I don't know what's going on down here, you know? But really, in fact, I mean, she's so good at it. She does it so quick.
Right.
I mean, you have to really work hard to try to keep her busy because she just gets her work done so fast.
That's good.
And so I'm like, all right, well, that's, you know, you deserve some more walking around money for this. So
that's good. I mean, that's what I'm talking about, man. I'm glad I asked you that because I wanted to get them props out for her too. So
yeah. That's cool. It just seems like it's all very small world.
Yeah,
in the law enforcement.
Yeah, it is,
especially in this area.
We definitely find a lot of familiar faces in this profession, and you know, sometimes the uniform changes, but like I said, 9 out of 10 times the officer does.
Yeah,
and you know, so it's good to catch up with some guys and remain in touch and all that. And like I said, they're another resource as well that you can always tap into. I mean, nobody knows everything, so you know,
it's good to have a bunch of people you can relate to and ask questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we always ask this question. This is a random question. If you were in the chair, your last day, they gave you your last meal.
Yeah. My last meal.
What would your last meal be?
We have to come up with a different question, but
I like this question.
Well,
a lot about a person.
Know, we're going to definitely have to go with a nice, what is that? Kobe beef steak.
Oh yeah, that.
Mm-hmm. Some form of potato.
Mm-hmm.
I would think. And then
that's a tight
we
ends
need to worry
meal.
About a salad on this one because you know, I mean, at that point, you know, there's no use in trying to be healthy.
Yeah.
So go on, give me a big old slice of cheesecake.
That's it.
There you go.
So he normally asks this, but how is the? It's a steak, right? Is that what it is?
What, the Kobe?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's. I mean, it's.
Top notch,
yeah.
How do you have it cooked?
I've never had it. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, how do you have your steak normally cooked? Rare, medium rare?
Medium rare. Yeah,
I
medium
told
rare.
You, man.
Yeah.
See, he's like a well done.
I'm like a medium. I don't know what the hell I am.
Well, you brought up Nassar. You know, he's deathly afraid of dogs. And him and another deputy, they called me one day. They were going to Texas Roadhouse and wanted to know if I wanted to go there and meet them. And unfortunately, I had something else going on, so I couldn't do it. But I told him, I said, all right, but look, you're going to have to get, you know, because he likes well-done steak. I said, I ain't going to fly, man. You're going to have to eat, you know, get you a medium well, you know, something.
Yeah.
Or medium, you know.
Something,
you know.
Yeah.
But
some color in it.
And he was like, no, I need my steak cooked. And I'm like, man, I mean, it's like you really are missing out. I mean, it's almost like eating, you know.
Yeah.
You might as well eat your belt, you know, a leather strap or something.
Damn.
You know? Like, why are you doing that to yourself?
Yeah,
I said, well, I'll tell you what, man. You know, you got to step out of your comfort zone. I said, and if you don't at least give me medium well. Or what was it? What's the next down from well? Is it medium well?
Medium.
Medium well.
Yeah.
At least do that for me or you're going to have to walk my dog.
What do you do?
Oh, he ate the steak. Yeah. My dog's a 130-pound Connie Corso, so yeah.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
He ate the steak.
She doesn't have to be mooing, but you need some red in there.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I've gotten a little bit better, so.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I just.
Yeah, medium rare. I've done rare, and, you know, it's a little chewy, and I don't really like that.
Yeah.
But the medium rare, I think, is right on time. Oh, yeah.
It melts in your mouth. Yeah. It depends on where you get it, but yeah, it's.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
Well, hey, I'll try. Since the sheriff said I'm going to do it.
Like you said, if you're comfortable, you're wrong.
Yeah, that's our motto.
And then one last thing in the spotlight. I know you like to work out,
mm-hmm.
and you're in the leadership role. If I mean, to anybody in law enforcement, outside of law enforcement, what's your word of advice for motivation? If, you know, just getting up in the morning.
Getting it in.
Yeah.
As far as working out?
It could be working out. It could be just getting up, going to work. I mean.
Well, again, it goes back to leading by example. You know, and I really truly feel like I am more of a motivator than anything else in that office because I really have to ask a lot of the deputies because we're such a small office and it's part of the reason why I brought in the diverse people that I brought in and you know, I'm looking for you know, to be creative in certain ways, and it's definitely helped strengthen my problem solving skills.
Right.
You know, we mentioned Mike Lilly earlier. I mean, he retired as a fire captain and EMT. We've had several, you know, emergency situations, medical situations in the courthouse that he was able to stabilize the people and, you know, and have them ready to go when the emergency crew got there. And, you know, I mean, just little things like that. But, you know, it's it's, you know, on me to motivate. And I just really have found that, you know, do as I say, but not as I do doesn't really work.
Right.
So, you know, I just come to work and actually work and show them that. And I think that has been well received with the staff. And like I said, they're, you know, I tell them all the time. I mean, they're amazing. They make me look really good, you know, and that's hard to do, you know, but yeah. So, I mean, like I said, I'd put my staff up against any staff in the state, you know, they really do a great job. And again, they make me look really good.
That's awesome.
I think that's a perfect way to end it, man. Yeah. You're modest, man, but I think you're doing a great job. So
yeah,
very I appreciate humble. It. Yeah, I appreciate it. And like I said, it's you know, it's all about doing what you say you're going to do. You know, if all politicians would do that, I think this country would be in a lot better shape.
You ain't lying.
But yeah, I mean, I told everybody what I was going to do when I was running, and that's all I'm doing now is just what I told everybody I was going to do. So I mean, it really should not be any surprises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I appreciate that. Yeah, and make sure you get the word out to check you out on the podcast, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, send me a copy and we'll get it posted. And
yeah.
Yeah, we have a couple ahead of you and I'll give you the date and stuff for
okay.
it.
Okay.
And, but yeah, we'll have the links ready to go. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. So all that will be live and it'll be on a Monday. So.
All right.
We'll let you know when that goes out. And,
all right. Now, if you don't get as many viewers as you normally get, I tried to tell him that I'm more a radio type of guy than an on camera. You know, I'm better behind the camera than I am in front of it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man, because the podcast. Well, I guess on Spotify is all you can watch.
Yeah.
Too.
Well, no, on Apple and Spotify, it's just radio. Yeah.
Yeah. So
you'll just be seen on YouTube.
All right.
So if you just want to share those links, you can.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I don't want to scare anybody. You know, I got a face for radio. You know, I don't.
You know. Oh,
I'm trying to help you build this program. You know, I mean, we're trying to get this podcast.
That's
up.
It, man. Yeah. Well, we want you to get reelected for many.
Well, then definitely don't show it. I mean, you know.
No, we really appreciate you being on.
Yeah, no, I appreciate y'all having me. This was a lot awesome, of fun.
Yeah, it was. Man.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Anything else?
Like I said, he's got to do his little spill, and this is it.
All right.
Yeah, just follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, also Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And we'll see you next time.
All right. Thank you, Sheriff. On the hill. All right, thank you, brother.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you for listening to On the Hill. Like, subscribe, and follow us wherever you listen to your podcasts. See ya.